For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Goodbye, January, and hello, February. Matt D'Agostino and Wes Chang here on the Juice on the Cuse podcast. And the Syracuse basketball team did not ring in the new month in style, closing out the month of January with a loss to Boston College, Wes, 80-75 in Chestnut Hill. And it was a series that Syracuse had owned up until Tuesday, winning 11 straight against Boston College, losing the first time for the first time since 2018. So let's get right to it. It sticks out like a sore thumb. The bad stretch of the game, a 21-0 run that started late in the first half and continued early into the second half as Boston College scored the last 14 points of the first frame and scored the first seven after intermission. So that's where things kind of fell apart. But what exactly happened in that stretch, Wes?
You know, Matt, when you're on the wrong side of a 21-0 run, I don't think there's any really coming back from that when you're, you know, especially on the road in a conference game, it's difficult to recover from. But what went wrong, I think, you know, shooting, defense, turnovers, you know, anything that could go wrong went wrong during that stretch. And what was interesting was that Syracuse actually up and playing pretty well before that. But, you know, Matt, I do give credit to Syracuse for going on their own 27-7 run to pull back within two. And you know how much I like Malik Brown. He scores 10 points during that time. And Syracuse was getting those looks to take the lead, to really get back in this game and take control. And they just couldn't get them to go down. And again, when you're on the road and you can't get over that hump, it's really hard to pull down a W.
Yeah, to me, it kind of started with Malik Brown picking up his second foul in that first half, forcing him to go to the bench a little bit. And then we get the Peter Carey minutes in there, which he had a couple of plays, scored a couple of buckets, doubled his season total in one game last on Tuesday. So, but to me, it started with a little bit of that. There was the J.J. Starling scare where he falls on his head and is down for a couple minutes. He's got to come out of the game. The surprise to me was the defense in that stretch, where there were times where Boston College was getting right to the rack. It seemed like Syracuse was just kind of making space for them to get to the rack.
The Matador D is my Walt Frazier likes to say.
Yes, it was a little alarming. Honestly, it's not something we have seen much of from Syracuse this season. And then give the Eagles some credit. They did knock down some shots. Claudel Harris had 19 points in the ball game. He closed out really well with 14 in the last 8 minutes of the game. But Boston College certainly took advantage of the opportunities that Syracuse was giving them.
Yeah, Matt, a couple other storylines from this game. You know, Syracuse only shot 7-for-14 from the free throw line. And, you know, we sing the praises of Brown, and rightfully so. He did score 10 points on that big run, but he was also 0-for-4 from the free throw line. And Syracuse really struggled rebounding the ball again, minus 10 on the glass. And on the other side, you mentioned the Matador D, how they couldn't stop Boston College. Well, Boston College shoots 60% from the field, 10-for-20 from downtown. This isn't a 5-point game if they don't commit 21 turnovers. It's really like a 25-point blowout if Boston College takes care of the ball and keeps handing the ball back to Syracuse.
Yeah, it's we saw Quentin Post, who went scoreless the first time against Syracuse. He comes back, has a decent game, a point away from a double-double with 9 and 12. But you could see where Malik Brown was struggling with him down in the low block. And for all the things that Brown did, now in two games against Boston College, he's averaging 17 points, 7.5 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, 2.5 blocks. Like he's filling the stat sheet there. But I think we see kind of the importance of him where at this point, Syracuse doesn't have somebody else to turn to if he gets into foul trouble that they can rely on consistently. So a good game from Malik Brown, the free throws notwithstanding, certainly. But can you argue that this is Syracuse's worst loss of the season, Wes? Just how bad was it for them to lose to Boston College on Tuesday?
You know, I think everyone looks at the jersey and thinks, hey, they've won 11 straight against Boston College, so this is a bad loss. So, and I do think, you know, Matt, it is a missed opportunity on the road, but it's a quadrant two loss. And Syracuse actually wasn't favored heading into this matchup. If you checked out the ESPN BPI before then, they had Boston College at 66% to win to 33% for Syracuse. So Syracuse was not favored. And Matt, just looking ahead, I think Saturday's game against Wake Forest on the road, I mentioned this before, I think it's high noon for them when it comes to the NCAA tournament because they only have 3 more chances as of this moment to get another quad one win. One of those 3 games is Wake Forest, and they are the lowest ranked net team that Syracuse will play in a quad one game at 44th. So Syracuse is still only 1-6 in quad one games. In my opinion, this is a must win game for them. I hope they play like that. But as it relates to Boston College, again, a quadrant two loss on the road, I don't think it actually hurts the resume that much. And that FSU loss that, you know, I think is a quadrant three loss is actually a worse loss. So, you know, comparatively, I actually don't think it's that bad. You know, quadrant two losses when it comes to tourney time are not going to hurt the resume as much as people think.
The Orange 2-4 on the road now this season, tied for 7th in the ACC standings as they are 5-5 for all you people like myself who like to look at the KenPom rankings in obsessive amounts over the course of January, February, and March. Syracuse now sits at 81. Boston College right behind them at 86. On the other side of the break here on the Juice on the Cuse podcast with Believe Network and on Rivals, we'll have former Syracuse basketball center Bai Musakita joining us here for a few minutes. Coming up next.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back on the Juice on the Cuse podcast, Wes Chang alongside Matt D'Agostino, and we are privileged to be joined by former Syracuse center and our great friend, Bai Musakita. Bai, always appreciate it. How are you today?
I'm doing great. You know, thank you for having me. Always, you know, excited to join you guys. I was actually right before I joined you guys. I was just watching the Syracuse Duke game. I can't believe it's like it's been that long ago. But I'm, you know, excited to talk to you guys about my camp coming up this year.
Yeah, and speaking of things that are hard to believe, you are in your 5th year of the BMK camp, hosted in your home country of Senegal. It's an incredible cause. I've been privileged to support it. And for those people who are listening who haven't heard about it, just tell us about the camp and what you've been able to accomplish in the last 5 years.
So initially, you know, I started it because I've been in the U.S. for so long. I really haven't been home because, you know, right after I was done playing, start working with the league, I really didn't go home for a while. So I didn't really know what was going on back home. And when I went back, I realized that the government is not doing a lot. So I'm like, guys like me that play college basketball now have experience working with the league and doing things. I'm the one that have to make the change. So I decided to have like my first year. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go fix the court. That's it. I'm not going to do it anymore. And I think it was like once I did that first thing, it was a bug. First year, we fixed the court, which was technically because we were playing basketball, but there was potholes. Like the street we drive in the U.S. are better conditioned than the court was in. second year, we decided to just, I started working for the Basketball Africa League. So I just decided to see, you know, basketball without borders and all that. So I started collecting stuff and bringing it home. You know, the third year, we decided to focus on hygiene and just try to teach kids. And, you know, the one of the biggest thing for me was that girls could not play basketball because they don't have pads and tampons, which is like, if you say that in the US, most people don't really think about it. You know, I'm like, all right, got to do something. So buy pads, tampon, hygienic stuff, just to teach them, like, all right, the importance of hygiene while playing basketball. Last year, the big thing was the hoops. Like, you know, in the US, you never think about like having a wooden backboard that you have to paint every year. So I'm like, okay, let's change this. So we bought, you know, two brand new backboard glass. So we don't have to every year, all right, let's try to fix it, paint it, then do all the extra stuff. So, you know, the elements is in Senegal, the average temperature is between 90 degrees, can get to 90 to 100 on hot summer days. The coldest days are 70 to 65. So there's really nothing there. And last year I went, I was like, I'm not going to do nothing big next year. So there's no bathrooms. That's just the reality of it. And I'm like, okay, this year we're going to take a huge, huge plan is to build a bathroom for these boys and girls. There's no bathroom really close for them to use it, which is in the US, you cannot think about going to a gym and say, oh, we don't have a bathroom. So I'm like, okay, this is a big undertaking for me this year because it's just, you know, last year I was able to take a drone shot and show people exactly what we have. So this year is to build a shaded area since it's going to be really hot, a storage unit, and build two bathrooms, a boys and a girls bathroom. So that's what, you know, that's year five. I'm really excited about it, you know, just trying to kind of be the change. That's kind of the mindset behind it. You know, I was going to say, oh, it's just 1 year now. I'm going to year five and excited to share it with people and see how they can support me.
So this is really a top to bottom kind of project for you. I always love when people do things like this. I always love to hear where it comes from. What was instilled in you? Was it from your parents? Was it from somebody else, a mentor or anybody growing up that said, you know, like, this is what I want to do when I have an opportunity like this to be able to do it?
I mean, I think it's a combination. You know, my parents definitely, you know, tried to instill those like a criteria, like, you know, once you can help someone, help them out. And it's a sense of community also in Senegal, because it was just like, when you kind of help your neighbors. And also, you know, when I got to Syracuse, I think Coach Behram kind of emphasized that. For me, it was just like, from the beginning, you know, it was every time I have time with myself, try to just be involved with the community. You know, that's why I was so grateful. You know, I was just like, from my sophomore to my senior year, just every Friday, typically you don't have class. I would just go into, you know, out of the Syracuse community, reading books to kids, getting involved with the community, because once that, you know, number 12 is out of my back, I'm just, you know, a regular Joe. But to actually how I could be involved with the community, I was grateful enough Coach Behram made an award after me, which is still unreal for me. Like every time I go to Syracuse to visit my in-laws, I go to the locker room, there's my name there. I'm like, this is you know, I see the pictures and everything. I'm like, I still can't believe that it happens to this day. So it's like, you know, kind of being able to have Coach Behram, Coach Hop, he was like talking about, like, you got to be involved with the community of Syracuse. And to this day, I call it home. You know, I'm going, you know, excited to go back to celebrate Coach Behram in 2 weeks. And like you said, it's just a kind of a instilling me by my parents, but also being part of the Syracuse community was huge, and seeing like everything the Coach Behram was doing and all the other coaches kind of helped me also take that alone. Now I'm like, I'm doing it just internationally in a bigger scale.
So by people listening to this, they may not know how to help. They may not know how to contribute. They hear this, it's a great cause. So how do people listening to this help out your cause?
So the one way you can do it is just like the easiest thing for me is just that I have a GoFundMe link. That's how I've been doing it for the past 5 years. If you can donate to that, that would be much appreciated, because with funds we can get more done. Because right now I have things in my storage also that I have to bring, and it's of course I get two free bags, and every other bag is $200. So can you put your having 6 to 8 bags? So it's like $600 right there. And United doesn't give you any more weight or less. If the bag is overweight 1 pound, they charge you for it. Doesn't matter what cause you're doing. I think, you know, the financial support is much appreciated. And, you know, I'm just reaching out to people and willing to share my GoFundMe. If you go on my social media, my Instagram, Facebook is linked in there. So that's one of the best ways to support me. And if you know someone that know how to ship things internationally, let me know. I'm willing to take any help from anyone.
That's awesome, Bai. That's a really worthwhile project. Glad to see it's going well for you. Wanted to check in with you on the Syracuse basketball team as it pertains to this year. Kind of what are your thoughts so far on how the season has unfolded? Obviously, most recently a loss to Boston College, but a pretty decent showing for the team in Adrian Autry's first season.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a sense of excitement around the program. You know, when I went and visited right before the season started, I had the opportunity to talk to Coach Red, and you can just see the atmosphere, the vibrancy. Everybody was excited about it. I think this year, one of the things I've been saying, I mean, they've been getting the wins that matter. You know, Boston College, I think it was just one of those games, it was just tough. But, you know, when it matters, the games they needed to win, they end up winning. You know, the Pittsburgh games, like those games, like the game they, you know, the buzzer beater game, like those, all those games, like it's like kind of being that excitement back again. I'm looking forward to see what Red, you know, and the team are able to do. It's definitely exciting. Like you can see it, like the people are going out to the games now and everything. So I'm excited for it. It's definitely a surprise for most people, but we all knew as former player, Red is a great coach and he was going to go directing great things with the program.
Bai, you were obviously a great center at Syracuse. I think there's a lot to talk about with Syracuse's current batch of centers. And I just want to see what your thoughts are on Malik Brown filling in at center in the place of the injured Nyheim McLeod, and what you think of his backups, Hema and Carey.
I mean, I think that's one of those things, like with me, when I think he has, you just have that mentality. When you come in, for me, it was like, let me see how I can help the team win. And you start doing the little things before you know it, like you solidify yourself as someone they can depend on. And the coaches know that, you know, hard work always pays off. And like this kid, you can just see like they are hungry. It doesn't matter who's in there. You can see the desire and everybody's hungry, willing to be like, all right, I'm just going to do my best and see what happens. And it's like comes easy at the end for some of these kids. I'm like, I mean, this is just an exciting team. Like I'm in Colorado now. So I'm like, all right, the game's now at 5 o'clock instead of 7. So I'm like trying to figure out like that time difference, working out and all that is definitely really exciting.
It's interesting. You know, Wes and I have talked about Syracuse could use maybe an extra shooter in there somewhere, somebody who could knock down a shot from 3-point land. But it's funny, like they could honestly use somebody like you, a guy who was just a dependable backup center, come in off the bench, could start if you needed him to, but you knew what you were getting out of your play when you came off the bench, a reliable guy for Coach Boeheim. It's interesting that we're seeing it kind of unfold the same kind of way. Have you kind of looked at it kind of in the same way since you had a very similar role during your time?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I'm like, this is kind of a flashback. Like Red, you know, when I went back, told him, he said, look, you know what? If you want, like, I have a picture with all the kids, like, you know, all the players. And I'm like, I call them kids now. I'm like, I sound like I'm old. Like, I'm like, it's funny. Like, Red was like, you know what? If you want to have, like, someone that, like, you can, like, a copy player, this is the guy. He came in, do his job, didn't complain, didn't do anything. He just, you know, stay, you know, when we got to him, our mind was at ease because he followed exactly what we taught him. And he's like a humble guy, down on earth, involved with the community. This is like, if you want to have a role model, this is your guy. You know, he's not like, oh, I'm going to go, when I come in there, I'm going to grab that to get all these buckets so I can go to the leagues. Those numbers didn't matter. As long as the team win, you know, he was there for the team. So I kind of see that with all the players. I say, it doesn't matter who's there, every five, like there's no, I feel like there's no selfish play. You can kind of see the ball move, sometimes Judah go hot, sometimes like someone else go. It's just free. Like, they're just free to play. And I think definitely, and Rad being, you know, bringing that excitement, and GMAC working with the Griff, working with the big, GMAC with the guard. So it's just like a combination, I think, you know, with that coaching style. And I'm glad we keep it in the family, because, you know, there's the continuation by having Rad. If we were to bring someone else in, I think he was going to be like take a little bit to kind of build that chemistry and know exactly what they needed. But I think it's just a short continuation for Coach Behan to Red.
You've mentioned him a couple of times. When you were playing, was there anything that stuck out to you about Coach Autry that led you to believe he would one day be a head coach?
I mean, just his leadership skills. Like, he's like, you know, I was on the hop, and he was like the one working with the forwards, and then GMAC with the guards. So I think he's just like his leadership skills, like, and his tone of voice, the way the Red deliver things, it was unique. Like, he talks to you, and it's like so easy to listen to, right? It's like, and some of these nowadays, I'm like, you got to connect with your players, right? It's like, you have to be able to talk with your players. Like, you know, it's like, playing under Coach Behan, he definitely like have to have a tough skin. But with these players now, you have to like be able to like kind of, I would say, maneuver that, because it's just a different generation, right? It's just like with me, it was like with Coach B, I was able to understand what he needed from me, and I was able to deliver. But nowadays, you have to be able to know how to maneuver around that. I think he's a great leader, know how to talk to kids, and listens well, right? It's like all great leaders know how to listen. So I think that's one thing also. I mean, the player listened to him, and he listened to the players, go vice versa.
Well, Bai, thank you so much for taking a couple minutes to talk to us. And we wish you really the best of luck on the BNK camp. I can't believe it's been 5 years. We'll certainly drop a link in the article that goes with this story, but we really appreciate the time. It's so great to hear from you, and you know, we look forward to seeing all the great things you're doing at the BMK camp this year.
Yeah, thank you so much. Like, and finally, like, I'm just like if you Instagram page is called BMK Camp, so it's like you can follow the process today, you know, everything we did last year, everything that happened, and then what you're planning to do this year. You know, hopefully the government leave us to our own spot, so we can kind of, you know, develop it to something that we can be proud of. I'm already proud of it. Is we started from nothing, and every year we're adding on stuff. So no, I'm just praying that everything goes well for year five, and excited for the upcoming years. Probably, I think.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wrapping things up here on the Juice and the Cues podcast on the Believe Network and Rivals. And for me, Wes, my final thought will be in terms of the magic number 20, as in getting the SU basketball team to 20 wins before the ACC tournament. They've got 10 games left, 14-7, so they need to go 6-4. And just kind of breaking down the whole schedule and seeing where the trouble really lies, I think we'll give wins for two Louisville games, an NC State game, and a Notre Dame game. I think that's kind of fair right there. And let's say they lose to Wake Forest, to Clemson twice, and one more matchup against North Carolina. That leaves two games on the schedule that are the pivotal ones. One of them is at home against Virginia Tech, and the other one has seemingly gotten harder than it was originally anticipated. At Georgia Tech in a couple of weekends, the Yellow Jackets knocked off North Carolina on Tuesday at home, also took out Duke at home earlier in the season. So they've beaten two of the top teams in the ACC, and Damon Stoudemire's crew has proven that that is not an easy place to play at McCamish Pavilion. So that one could tell the whole story there. Couple of weeks, Syracuse at Georgia Tech, maybe a must win to get to 20 wins on the season.
Got to circle that date right in your backyard, Matt. And I want to close the show on AJ Miller. You know, he's been on the podcast a couple times now. First, he talked to us about his initial offer from Syracuse, then about his official visit. Well, he pulled the trigger on Tuesday, committed to Syracuse as a preferred walk-on over offers from Connecticut and Fordham. And I did have a chance to catch up with him after he committed. He said it was the loyalty the staff showed him that ultimately made him commit, whether it was having a direct line of Fran Brown, the at-home visit with offensive coordinator Jeff Nixon. He said Syracuse really rolled out the red carpet, or we should probably call it the orange carpet, Matt, for him. So that gives Syracuse another quarterback in its room heading into the 2024 season, and very happy for a friend of the show, AJ Miller.
Could even be, although it may not be aesthetically pleasing, the brown carpet, the Fran Brown carpet that they're rolling out as well. It doesn't just stop at red or orange, Wesley, but and red Autry. We've got colors abounding on the SU coaches.
It's a whole rainbow cornucopia of colors here, Matt.
And on that note, we'll just end it. I think there's no better way to do it. For Wes, I'm Matt. Thanks for listening to Juice on the Cuse podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.